And welcome back to another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Kyle, just me and you. What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm ready to, it's redraft season. We're getting into it now. It's been a while since we talked about it.
Oh, yeah, redraft season. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some ADP guys, some guys who we think are going to exceed their expectations going into next year, especially their ADP. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's the Wire. D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that's Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, Kyle. So it's been, I think, 2 weeks since we recorded. We've had some crazy news come out recently with a couple players. To start, Cam Akers tears his Achilles tendon. I think where we've argued about this on about going on maybe 12 hours of texting time.
Yeah.
Mostly me and you. Well, it's more me against you and Tyler. But because Tyler, as everybody knows, is our residential Achilles expert.
Oh, that's the thing. You know, once you have it, you become kind of an expert. You belong to the club. You know, you get a card and all that. You get to the weekly meetings of all the sports injuries, especially with Achilles tears. So it's one of those takes one to know one kind of deals, you know?
Yeah, and you know, my thing with Cam Akers is everybody, it's a death sentence if you go on Twitter, if you go on, you know, any of these dynasty websites, and it's a death sentence where, you know, he's never going to be a starting running back again. He's just going to be another one, just another jag, another guy, you know, may have one big game, but other than that, he's just going to be kind of a guy. And my thing is, he's 21 years old, and everybody's saying he's never going to be what he was. We don't know what he was yet. He only played seven games. And of those seven real games, and of those seven games, you know, five of them were like, wow, like this guy is pretty good. But he's 21. He bounces back better than Marlon Mack at 27 years old, or Kobe Bryant at 34 years old, Kevin Durant at 32 years old. You know, and we're talking about, you know, I'm comparing him to 30-year-old seven-footers who came back, you know, and but as far as Durant, but we've never seen a 21-year-old NFL running back tear his Achilles that I know of. So there's no real comp for it.
The closest comp I can think of is
Mikal LeShore, right?
Mikal LeShore. Yep. He tore his Achilles right his rookie year, right when he got drafted, before he even really took a snap. It was during training camp. You know, very similar kind of situation to what Akers faced. And it was effectively a death sentence for him, just because I think he had maybe one good year after that, if that even. But he, you know, the team moved on from him, drafted another player, and they had noted a lack of explosiveness out of LeShore, which you can contribute to the Achilles tear. Now, I'm with you as far as we don't know, and I completely leave room for the fact that medical, you know, surgeries and medical history and science can advance. You know, people used to think that the ACL tear was a death sentence, and then AP came along and kind of broke the mold, and, you know, the medical procedures changed with what they do with ACL surgeries. So maybe what they do now in terms of surgeries for Achilles, maybe it comes out a little bit better. I'm just a little bit skeptical because we haven't seen it yet. And I feel like people to your point, Akers has only played seven games and, you know, they yielded good results, but I feel like people took those seven games and already kind of anointed him as the guy. And, you know, when you're looking at a guy that had second, third round ADP, you know, he's having quite a fall from graces, especially his second round ADP. I feel like it was a little bit overvalued, but I think people were kind of too quick on the other end where they would jump into conclusions that he was going to be the guy and, you know, just be that dude at LA.
Yeah. So the big thing with him, and especially in dynasty drafts, was he's 21 years old. So you may be able to get 5-6 years out of him rather than a 23, 24 year old who, you know, typically you sell running back when they hit 26. And the thing with Mekhi Ashore is, he was a 230-pound running back, so he never really had the explosion, right?
Yep.
So he was drafted in 2011 in the second round. He missed all of that season. And then he comes back, and in 2012, he runs for 800 yards, 9 touchdowns, 34 receptions, and another 200 yards in the air. So he did have a solid year.
Mm-hmm.
Then he comes in 2013, and, you know, he was never the same. But that was 2 years down the line. And I think Akers is a much better player, especially considering the Lions brought in Reggie Bush that year. So it's one of those things where, yeah, it's tough to compare explosiveness with a 230-pound running back coming off an Achilles tear to Reggie Bush.
Right.
But, you know, he's 21 years old. And when you're 21, you bounce back quicker from injuries than when you're 27, 28 years old or 30 years old. Right. It's just everybody knows it. Right. Getting out of bed hurts when you're 30 years old.
Sure.
When you're 21, you could drink until 5 a.m. and be at work at 7. Right. So It's one of those things where at 21 years old, your body's more resilient. We're also 10 years more in the future of repairing these types of injuries, right? So I personally am not extremely worried about Akers. Of course, there is that level of worry, but I'm not buying him because people are going to try to get normal value right now. I'm waiting until week 3, week 4 when someone wants to fill in a gap on their team that they think is still a contender without him and buying him and hoping he's something worth it next year. Same thing with any other player that gets hurt preseason. I'm waiting till week 3, week 4 and trying to lynch him.
Yep.
But I'm not worried about Akers. I think he's going to be just fine. He was never destined to be the running back one ever. He's not a McCaffrey. He's not a Barkley. But we're talking about a guy who could very well be in that RB8 to 12 range for multiple years.
And I think that's the thing that kind of concerns me with really what the nature of the running back position as a whole. You take Christian McCaffrey, for example. He effectively missed all of last year between the ankle and then the shoulder injury. But you come into this year and there's no question that he's going to be the running back one. Of course, they drafted Chuba Hubbard, but nobody has any kind of inclination or thinking that he's going to supplant Christian McCaffrey for his spot. McCaffrey is that dude. The same thing with Dalvin Cook when he was going through his injury problems. You know, you have Alexander Mattison as his backup, but there's no questioning that Dalvin Cook is going to be the guy as soon as he steps back on the field. The problem I have with running backs is besides those top tier guys, teams are always looking for the next guy. They're always looking for that next running back that you can either have a committee with or just get the next guy on a rookie contract because you get him for cheap. And then it's just this endless cycle of, okay, I'm not going to pay this running back because I can just draft the next guy right away.
And yeah, but we're talking about a second year running back here. We're talking about somebody who, you know, still has after he misses this season, he still has year 3 and year 4 on his rookie deal. And you don't even have to worry about extending, nothing like that. So he's just coming off his rookie season. We're not talking about a running back who's 25, who has, you know, 1 year left on his rookie deal. And then you have, you know, now you're buying a running back who has to you know, find a new offense or negotiate a contract next year. And now you're in, you know, because a couple of years ago, when you bought Melvin Gordon, you weren't worried about what his contract situation looked like a year or two later. But all of a sudden now he's holding out and now he's never been the same since. Devontae Freeman, you buy him before his last year in Atlanta, all of a sudden, you know, things start going downhill, which he's 21 years old and he still has multiple years, 3 years left on his rookie deal.
Yep.
Right. So, and then he's a restricted free agent. There's so many ways where you could see this guy being still fantasy relevant for, you know, 4 years at, you know, next year, the year after, and the year after, right? Until he's 25, 26 years old. But yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on Akers because I know me and you could go back and forth on this for hours. Michael Thomas. This one hurts. This one hurts my dynasty team, my contending dynasty team quite a bit because it looks like he's out until probably the first week of November.
Yeah.
Last week of October.
It's a
last
tough
week
blow.
Of October is probably the earliest because he had it. He had the surgery in June. And it's a 4 month injury from June. So he's back sometime late October, early November. And he's the type of player where he's not coming back until he's 100%.
Yeah. And to be honest, I have no understanding or no idea why he would wait so long to have the surgery. I don't know if he was just hoping that he would recover naturally and wouldn't have to avoid, you know, he could avoid surgery as much as possible. But I know for me, I already had some questions with him regarding, I mean, there was already the quarterback situation. You weren't sure what was going to happen yet. They haven't announced the QB1 yet. So the range of outcomes there was, you know, it could have been larger, but now you have this injury to worry about. And obviously he's going to miss some time. So it's a tough blow, man.
I was hoping for him to be a nice solid wide receiver too. But yeah, I think that's kind of ruined. Hopefully he comes back in November. Redraft wise, you're probably getting him in the, you know, in the 11th, 12th round and stashing him on your roster until he comes back. I'm okay with doing it, but, you know, we're talking about another one of those situations where, like, who was it? AJ Green a couple years ago. Well, you just don't know, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. You almost have to treat this as a guy that starts the year suspended. You know what the talent is and what he can be, but you know he's not going to be available at the same time for, you know, for a period of time. So you have to fade the ADP at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about the last dance and then we're going to jump into these ADP guys. So Aaron Rodgers and Rodgers and Adams, looks like they're both going to return. Things are coming out. Aaron Rodgers is going to make himself a Tom Brady contract in Green Bay where this is the last year he's there. And then they can't franchise tag him, trade him without his permission, blah, blah, blah. And then Adams, seems like it from the reports they offered him to be the highest paid wide receiver in football, but he turned it down.
Yep.
So it sounds like he doesn't want to be there post Rodgers. I don't know if that means Jordan Love sucks and, you know, we just don't know it yet, or he's just fed up with the organization. Cause if you read into it, you know, Rodgers is leaving. This kid Love sucks, you know, and he's going to be my quarterback next year.
That's the thing. And I think especially for Adams, you know, he's almost 30 at this point. He's yet to win a Super Bowl, which kind of blows my mind a little bit. I don't think he was on the team that Rodgers led.
That lucky season they had.
Yeah, that lucky season that they had. I don't think he was part of that roster. So he's never really had, you know, a chance to even get to a Super Bowl. So Aaron Rodgers is his best chance to get to a Super Bowl. Either that or he needs to jump ship and go to another team, which, I mean, I was talking about this earlier with somebody. Obviously, he's not going to have any problem finding another team. He can take whatever team he wants to go to. Anybody would be happy to have him. But if you're talking about going from Aaron Rodgers, you know, consistent NFC divisional championship game, you know, runs, maybe a Super Bowl run in them, probably should have made the Super Bowl this past year, but either way, to Jordan Love, who apparently can't hit the broadside of a barn, but that's quite a drop off, especially for a 30-year-old receiver who still needs to win a ring. So I can't necessarily say I blame him. You want Aaron Rodgers there. He's been your go-to guy for, you know, God knows how long. Like the picture says, he's basically the Scottie Pippen to Aaron Rodgers, Michael Jordan, but it's a tough situation for him.
Yeah. It's funny because yesterday I was messing around. I was doing schedules, you know, breaking down who's going to win, who's going to lose each week and kind of get playoff picture, the whole nine. And if Rodgers didn't play, I had the Packers going 5-12.
That sounds about right.
And with Rodgers playing, I have them going 12-5.
Yeah. Well, even Vegas took down all the odds for them winning the division, making any kind of playoff run. Vegas took everything down when before this news came out about him coming back to camp and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so them going 12-5 with Rodgers, you know, it's, you know, 6-0 in the division, 6-5 everywhere else. So, you know, that's pretty much what I had it going as far as them. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know, dynasty wise, I'm not buying Rodgers. I'm not drafting Rodgers. I'm moving Rodgers, especially if he comes in. I'm trading Rodgers for Kirk Cousins and or you know, Carson Wentz or somebody of that nature. If you can get something additional, go for it. You get the longevity, because I have a weird feeling this is Rodgers' last season. Maybe one more year after this, and then he's done.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Like you said, especially for dynasty purposes, I feel like his future is so unknown. I feel like he's the type to, you know, go off just into disappear. The sunset. Yeah, just yeah. Go off the reservation, retire.
His own island.
Done. It does not seem to me in any kind of interview I've seen or just any kind of interaction that he's had, it doesn't seem to me like football is his top priority, which, I mean, there's plenty of players like that. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's a very...
What does he have? He's a single 40-year-old man who his family hates, his teammates hate, his fan base is mad at, but he's a really good football player.
You know what? He's got Jeopardy. At the end of the day, he's got Jeopardy until he needs.
I hate Aaron. I don't want to talk about him anymore. Let's go into this ADP stuff. If you want to start with him, I know he's on your list. Let's get him out of the way. I'm all done talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Now, listen, everything that we just talked about, disclaimer, was for dynasty purposes. Switching gears to redraft, Aaron Rodgers is going to be that dude for 2021. He's right now QB number 13 for underdog ADP right now. Finished as the QB2 last year. So that's with the final week of the season taken into effect. I was looking at sleeper data. So that's, they take all the weeks into effect. But that led him to a QB2 finish. Obviously, we know what he can do in this offense. He's going to have Davante Adams again coming back with him. We mentioned it earlier. It's a last dance type season. So it's in it to win it, balls to the wall, one final push to try and get a Super Bowl. And then more than likely he's out of here. So for redraft purposes, give me Aaron Rodgers. He's going to put up numbers. He's going to put up touchdowns. He's going to shove it in your face that he's that dude and then walk away from Green Bay like he didn't have a care in the world.
Like he tried to do last year.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about him. He's a piece of shit human being.
Listen, I don't care what he is personality-wise. As long as he gets me points on my roster and as long as he gets our listeners points on in their lineups, that's all that we care about.
Listen, I've been doing fantasy football for about 14 years now, since 2007. I've had a very illustrious career so far in fantasy. I've won a lot of money doing it. I've never owned Aaron Rodgers.
I haven't either, but...
I've never once, redraft or dynasty, ever had him on my roster. I've had his receivers. I had Greg Jennings. I had James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Jimmy Graham. But I've never once owned Aaron Rodgers. I'm glad. And you know, I'm going to make sure that happens. But fuck him. He's a piece of shit. But his if he's ADP 13, yes, I'm grabbing him. But, you know, as far as fantasy pros, they have ESPN has him as the QB8. Yahoo has QB8, CBS QB8, Fantrax has him as QB5.
QB 8 feels about right.
QB 9, that sounds about right. But if I'm sitting on the board and Brady and Rodgers are both sitting there, I'm just taking Brady out of spite to Rodgers. You can call me a homer all you want. I'm actually waiting another round and taking Stafford as the QB 12. But, you know, it's – I don't want to talk about him anymore.
That's okay. You let it out. Go ahead. Who's your guy?
Daniel Jones. Danny Dimes. So we're talking about a guy – who has every chance to blow away his ADP, it's Daniel Jones. He's currently the QB 26 in redraft. His ADP is 174. And they have Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph, Barkley's back, John Ross. They drafted Kadarius Toney, and he actually has some rushing upside. I hate when people say this because it's only used for white quarterbacks, but sneaky athleticism. He can move sometimes faster than his feet can keep up with him.
I was going to say, is that the sneaky upside? Or is it the sneaky thing that comes out of the ground that trips him up?
Yeah, he has the rushing upside, right? He'll probably rush for 2 or 3 touchdowns. You know, 200 yards, something like that. You know, just keep the defense honest. But listen, this is a guy you're taking in the 15th, 16th, 17th round as your backup quarterback in a one QB league. He may make your QB1 expendable at one point, and you could just, you know, stream him and somebody else, and you could win your league, right? So if you have a Russell Wilson and Danny Dimes, and you're able to, you know, scoop up somebody off the waiver wire to stream with them, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek Carr, somebody of that nature. If you're able to stream him with them, trade Russ, get a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, and you very well could win. Obviously, it all depends on your roster makeup, but ADP 174, QB 26, I expect him to easily clear those numbers. I have him in that half of that. I have him around QB, you know, 12, 13 range.
Well,
I really do.
He definitely has the upside to be able to do it. He has all the opportunity in the world to perform. And if he doesn't perform, then he has nobody to blame really but himself. It's kind of like what we talked about with Josh Allen before he got Stephon Diggs. You surround your quarterback with talent and let him do the talking, basically. The proof is then up to him in order to prove it out on the field. So that way you really have nobody else to blame. So if it could definitely work out, like you said, especially as your QB2 on your bench, if he ends up doing anything and, you know, really proving to be a good, solid quarterback, like you said, your quarterback 1's now expendable. Now you can build up the rest of your roster. So I don't blame you at all for that pick.
Yeah. So who else you got?
So I'll give you another quarterback, Kirk Cousins for me. Right now he's QB 19 on ADP, finished as the quarterback 11 last year. So Kirk Cousins, I feel like, is always one of those guys that is severely underrated just because he's not a very flashy quarterback. He's grouped in there with like Ryan Tannehill. I think of him too in that same vein where he's not flashy, but when you look at the stat sheet and you look at your fantasy points, he gets the job done. It's another year in a good offense. You have Dalvin Cook. You have a year or two of Justin Jefferson. You have Adam Thielen, who should hopefully he's healthy. He plays a full healthy year. You have Irv Smith, who's going to be coming in and filling that tight end role. And you have a bad defense. Defense wasn't great this year, gave up a good amount of points. So that caused Kirk Cousins to have to throw the ball quite a bit. And now tying back into my first quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is going to be taking the field. So now you're playing Green Bay twice a year, who will put up points with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. So now that's another 2 games that you don't have to worry about the Vikings just running the ball, you know, because they're up. If Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be playing, I would have had Minnesota winning the division and pretty much running away with it. But now you have at least another two games where the division's going to be a little bit more competitive. And again, Kirk Cousins is just a solid quarterback to have on your teams.
Yeah. Game script is the most important thing to project. So, you know, let's say you believe in the New England Patriots and you think they're going to win 14 games this year. Their game script, especially considering the offense, is going to be running and defense. Cam Newton, Mac Jones, they're not going to be high-level fantasy options. Now, I don't think that it's even possible. I project them going, I think, I actually have it up. Let's see. I projected the Patriots at 7-10. So it's one of those things where, you know, game script. So if you're down 14, you're going to be throwing the ball more, right? Unless you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and you just want to run.
Just keep handing it off.
Just keep handing the ball off and get the game over with. But, you know, with obviously there's exceptions to the rule, guys like Mahomes, Josh Allen, you know, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson. These are guys, they're just elite of the elite. But if you're looking for somebody to, if you let all these guys go, I agree with Kirk. I have him in way too many dynasty leagues as my QB2, way too many. But yeah, there's a little group of them where it's Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, these type of guys where they're high, they have higher ceilings and lower and higher floors, right? Yeah. So that's kind of what I always look for in a redraft quarterback, is somebody with a higher floor.
And that's the thing, especially in a one quarterback league, and you're talking about redraft, that, you know, that allows you to kind of fade the position while those guys like Prescott, Josh Allen, Mahomes all go super early. And now you can fill in the rest of your roster where the higher end talent is more of a premium than the quarterback position, where Kirk Cousins will put up respectable numbers. It won't be super flashy, but you'll still be able to build the rest of your team while those other teams are probably struggling because they went super high at quarterback.
Yeah. I have Devin Singletary on this list as well. Currently listed as the RB41 by Fantasy Pros, his ADP is 113. This is a guy who could get you 10 points a week, have a game of 15, 16, 17. I have him averaging about 12 points a week. He's not going to win you any weeks, but I don't really project him losing you any weeks. He's a much better pass catcher than Zach Moss. I think Zach Moss sucks. I think he's just another football player. He's not really good at anything. Singletary actually was one of the higher level running backs in the NFL last year with broken tackles.
Yeah, he did make a good amount of guys miss. I do remember.
Yeah, because we were watching the Pats Bills game, and every single time he got the ball, the first person missed. Every single time. He got handed the ball, I think, 12 times, and he broke the first guy that saw him 12 times. But then, you know, there was somebody right behind him. But, you know, there's only so much the guy can do.
Right.
I do think he's pretty solid. If you're looking for an RB4, an RB3 flex play, or if you draft somebody like McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, and then you go wide receiver heavy, and then now you're sitting, there's nothing much really left on the board, Singletary is going to be better than the RB41 next year. Even if it's in the mid to late 20s, I'm not projecting him to be a running back one, but he's going to be better than the RB41.
Yeah, that'll be solid return on your draft pick, yeah, on your investment.
We're talking about somebody you draft in the 11th round. You know, we're talking about somebody who, you know, you've already addressed probably your two running back spots, your three wide receiver spots, quarterback, flex, you know, starting tight end, a backup one running back, a backup wide receiver, and now you're drafting him. We're talking about probably your RB4, maybe RB5. So the return on investment, the ROI, as us realtors use,
there you go.
It's going to be there for the RB41.
Yeah, I mean, at that point in the draft, you're looking for depth. You're looking for upside at that point. So, you know, Devin Singletary can definitely have some upside. Like we said, we saw the athleticism out on the field last year. He's capable of making guys miss. And to be honest, that's what you look for at the running back position. You need guys that can create extra yardage after, you know, they have a carry or they catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's all the stuff that you look for in a running back.
Absolutely. Who else you got?
So my second running back, I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. Right now, he's RB25 as far as ADP goes. Finished as the RB10 last year. Now, of course, there's the caveat that he started, I think it was 4 games with Chubb being hurt. However, and he didn't really perform in those games, to be honest. You know, a lot of people expected him to get those RB1 numbers, you know, 20-point games just out of those games. It didn't happen. The majority of his production came when he was splitting work with Chubb. And that's kind of how the offense is really designed. It's designed around that 2 running back approach. You have Stefanski there, who obviously is, you know, built that offense around running the ball the same way it was in Minnesota with Dalvin Cook. And I think more importantly, the team is committed to Kareem Hunt. They signed him to a longer term deal, and the report did come out that they weren't interested in trading Hunt. So clearly they have plans for Kareem Hunt. And to me, as the RB25, you know, even if he doesn't finish as the RB10, you're still going to get solid finish. Even if it's at that 15 to 20 range, running backs are hard to come by. Once you get past that top tier, to me, Hunt is a very good depth piece, RB2 flex type play every week that will get you probably a good amount of touchdowns and then some catches out of the backfield. Just based on how that offense is designed, they make sure to feature Kareem Hunt. So you'll have that stability every week.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, Kareem Hunt is just, he wasn't that great when Chubb was hurt. It was the RB25. I get it. You know, you're probably getting him. Let me see. You know, as far as RB is concerned, he's being drafted around, you know, Melvin Gordon, Raheem Mostert. So it's fair. James Robinson, guys I'm probably targeting over him are lead backs. Like, he's being drafted 1 slot behind David Montgomery and 2 slots above Myles Gaskin. These are guys I'm definitely taking over him. I'm taking Mostert over him. I'm taking ETN over him. Just based off, I want somebody, if I'm relying, when you're drafting somebody overall 49, I need somebody who's actually the starting running back rather than somebody in a 2 running back approach. Just my personal opinion. He'll probably do better than RB25 or 21 on Fantasy Pros, but when there's guys around him that are the lead back, the lead dog, those are the guys I'm taking. I'd rather take Mostert 2 rounds later than Hunt, just based off of them being more likely to be the lead back, especially Gaskin going around the same time as well.
It'll be interesting to see how Gaskin does this year, just based on the fact that they couldn't, you know, they would try to get a couple different running backs. I'm convinced they were going to try and get Javonte Williams if Denver didn't trade ahead of them. I'm curious to see if they maybe add to the position at all. They haven't to this point. I know they've tried with a couple waiver moves, but they haven't pulled the trigger.
Running backs typically don't get moved, especially starting running backs, right? So,
yep.
You know, how often do you see a starting running back get moved, or somebody who's going to be fantasy relevant as a running back get moved? It's typically more, you know, linebackers, wide receivers, linemen, you know, safeties, you know, backup cornerback, stuff like that. You never see a guy who's going to come in and be a starter get moved.
Yeah, especially in the trade market. This was more, I'm thinking more like waiver wire or free agency moves that they were looking to make during the offseason. Like I said, they haven't made any of those kinds of moves.
I'd be curious. The guy who really has me questioning is, there's 2 guys that are free agents. One of them is Devontae Freeman, and the other one is Adrian Peterson. No, they're nothing flashy, but they're guys who could come vulture in, whether it's just, you know, 15-20% of the snaps, goal line carries, couple rushes, you know, whatever it may be. They could go somewhere like a Miami and vulture up some stuff. I do think Malcolm Brown was an interesting signing for Miami. Yep. He was with the Rams last couple of years. Big, solid, strong back, something they just didn't have. I don't believe in dokes, especially when you have a 27-year-old veteran like Brown who can come in and just be a bruiser, especially when they're up. And, you know, Gaskin was a light version of CMC almost when he was healthy, where he's just getting all of the targets out of the backfield, all the rushes, et cetera.
Yeah, I get the sense that Miami really wants to have one feature back, and it almost seems kind of half-hearted to have that they want Myles Gaskin to be the guy. I think they want another guy, but whoever they have, they're going to make the guy for the most part. I don't know. It's an interesting situation there. Myles Gaskin just kind of happens to be the winner right now of that backfield, but it doesn't seem to me like they're settled on him long term.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't want to go too much down the rabbit hole of Myles Gaskin right now. Mm-hmm. I have James Conner. I know I talked about him heavy on the dynasty episodes with buying, you know, guys in a contender. Reason is because this year I think he's going to produce. Somebody who's going to produce for you this year, who's going to cost much, and is probably going to blow away his current expectations. The RB35, ADP 86. ADP seems about right, but RB35 seems extremely low. You're drafting him probably, you know, in the eighth round. He's probably your RB3, RB4. I have him ranked in the early 20s going into next year, so I do have him outproducing his RB ranking. ADP does seem about right, but it's just to if you look at it, you know, I have him outproducing Leonard Fournette, David Johnson, Chase Edmonds.
It's crazy to think
Melvin that, Gordon, yeah, James Robinson, Damian Harris, Michael Carter. There's so, like, I'm looking at this list and, you know, I feel like he's 10 spots too low.
Yeah, RB35 just feels funny to me because you're basically saying that he's the equivalent to like the third bench guy. And, you know, all the starting running backs plus three, you know, two bench guys are better than him.
He's your RB4, RB5.
Right.
You know, I have him as a mid RB2 next year.
Yeah.
Somebody who's, I think he's going to vulture up a bunch of touchdowns. I really do. It's just, RB35 is low.
If he gets the Kenyon Drake role from last year, I feel like he could definitely return that value. And I feel like that's what he's going to be. With Chase Edmonds, it's very tough. You know, people want to really buy into him, but he's never really been invested in by the team himself. He hasn't gotten any kind of goal line carries, and they just don't seem to want to make him the guy. So I kind of feel more inclined to stick with James Conner as far as that goes, because they brought him in and he fits more the archetype of the, you know, Kenyon Drake, whereas Chase Edmonds, they just don't seem to want to give him that kind of work.
I mean, in my opinion, it's rightfully so. I don't think Edmonds is anything spectacular. He's a scat back. There's no way he could be a lead running back all season long. He can be electric with the ball in his hands, but he's just any average, you know, small, quick running back. He's nothing spectacular. He's not Travis Etienne. He's not DeAndre Swift. He's et cetera. I'm not going to just sit here and name all of the better running backs than him, but
right.
I don't even have him. I haven't seen Michael Carter play in the NFL yet, but I might already say Michael Carter is a better football player than Chase Edmonds.
That's the thing. When you look at Chase Edmonds, you don't see anything that really stands out. You don't see him as like a key difference maker. He's kind of just a guy on that roster. So it's tough to really.
He's never really produced.
Much. Right. No, I absolutely agree with your assessment. And it's tough. People want to, you know, make Chase Edmonds a thing, but most importantly, the team doesn't really want to make Chase Edmonds a thing. So it's tough to really buy into him. But, If you're good there, I'm going to jump to wide receivers, and I'm going to look at T. Higgins, wide receiver 24, according to ADP. He finished as a wide receiver 28 last year. But the most important thing to remember with that is he missed Joe Burrow most of the year and was still able to put up pretty solid numbers, respectable numbers. Again, this is his rookie year, talking about a COVID year. Everything was weird. Off-season program, all out of whack, but he still managed to produce at a pretty good level, pretty high level. He should, you know, feast in year two. That's usually where you end up seeing a lot of receivers make that big jump in year two in development. It's another year with Joe Burrow, more chemistry that he can have. And now you're talking about having Ja'Marr Chase opposite him. And that should take some coverage away from T. Higgins. He'll get more one-on-one matchups. You still have Tyler Boyd probably in the slot. The defense still really sucks. So that offense was ridiculously pass happy because they were down all the time. And I think that's just kind of how the Bengals want to run their offense, really. So I expect a good jump from T. Higgins. And I think having a full year with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins has always been a winner. He's a baller in my mind. I love them. I love the dude. I think he's going to have a really good year this year.
So my thing with T. Higgins, I do agree. And what the thing with T. Higgins is, I have him, I don't have any more volume for him. I think his target percentage is going to be about the same. I think that the passing attempts are going to be about the same. The big difference is going to be he's not going to spend five games with Brandon Allen, two games with Ryan Finley, right?
Yep.
He's going to get eight games with Joe Burrow. A.J. Green leaves that offense. He played 16 games, he had 104 targets. Higgins played 16 games, 108 targets. Boyd, 15 games, 110 targets. I'm slotting Chase right into the A.J. Green target share. Not role, because, again, we can go down this big rabbit hole about how they're not the same player, this, that, the other thing. Whatever.
No, I think that's fair.
You know, it's all about target share and volume, especially in PPR leagues. I think Chase is going to be a lot more efficient than 47 catches on 104 targets. I think Higgins still ends up about 100 to 110 targets, about 75 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 or 8 touchdowns. So I do have his numbers going up. The volume is going to be about the same, but it's going to be a little bit more efficient. 75 catches, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. You know, I think that'll probably get him around the right around the wide receiver 2018 range. So I do like Higgins. I'm not scared of Higgins. The issue with Higgins was he got faded a lot in the dynasty community because he was the shiny toy to go with Joe Burrow. And now there's two shiny toys to go with Joe Burrow.
Yep.
You know, he's a big, strong kid. Very flashy with the ball in his hands. I like watching him play football. I agree. I think he's going to have a very good year. I'm going to jump positions a little bit here.
Go for it.
I love the guy. I think I'm trying to acquire him everywhere because he's so cheap. He's probably going to go undrafted in most leagues, and I think he's going to be the big waiver wire pickup around week 3.
This is one of your infinity stones, as Tyler would say, as you guys would say.
That's what I say because Tyler has his infinity stones. So far, my infinity stones are Sam Darnold, James Conner, Devin Singletary, and then this one is Gerald Everett. Currently, being drafted as the tight end 22. His ADP is 197. In a 10-team league with normal benches, that isn't tight end premium, if you're not putting a premium on their receptions. He's going undrafted. He's not even going to be visible on the screen when you go into draft. He's going to exceed his expectations. I have him around as a low-end tight end one going into next year. He's very good when he's been the only tight end. You know, I'm trying to, on every team, get one of him or Higbee because when they're alone, they've been very good. And Everett with Russ is going to be great. You know, there's only so many guys to cover out there. And, you know, you have Eskridge, you have Metcalf, you have Tyler Lockett. Yep. There's going to be a lot of stuff open in the middle of the field, and I think that's where Gerald Everett's going to feast. You know, third and seven, third and eight, he runs a deep in. and everybody's so worried about the outside receivers, he's going to have some open lanes.
Do they finally let Russ cook? That's my question. Do they finally let Russ cook?
The thing is, when they let Russ cook, they lose. He puts up a lot of points. They put up a lot of numbers, but they lose.
Yeah, that defense was rough at the beginning part of last year.
Well, beginning, middle, end, their defense sucks. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Where, hey, Carlos Dunlap helped a little bit, at least.
Yeah, a little bit, but they suck. So, you know, let Russ cook. Yeah, that's great. You're putting up 30 points a game, but when you're giving up 29, you know, 28.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's one of those things where you got to play both sides of the coin. You have to make sure you're protecting your defense, because they go on a 12, their defense is off the field after a 12 play drive. Next thing you know, three plays later, DK Metcalf scores. Now Bobby Wagner's running back out there, still out of breath, and et cetera, et cetera. They have good players, but for some reason their defense sucks.
I'm not mad at this pick at all. To me, unless your name is Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, you know, Kyle Pitts, he's going to eventually, if he's not in that group this year, it'll eventually be in that group. It almost is kind of a, you know, just grab a guy, close your eyes and grab a guy and, you know, live with it. Basically just kind of, I tend to stream the position, especially in redraft leagues. So, I mean, Gerald Everett's a starting tight end and he has just as good a chance as anybody else to, you know, make a difference, be an impact on a fantasy roster. So, hey, I'm all for it. Go for it. Why not?
Yeah. I think I have one more. Do you as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I can go with one more. I'll give my last wide receiver, Antonio Brown.
Wide receiver. Love it.
Love it. Wide receiver 43 ADP right now, which seems ridiculous, but, you know, that's the number we're at right now. Of course, they
were slightly inflated because Godwin was hurt. Remember that?
Yes, that is true. So right now, I look back at his games. Of course, he only basically played half a season, but the last half of the season he played averaged 14.6 PPR points per game. And of course, he has another year with the GOAT, Tom Brady. Looks better than ever. He's throwing footballs into jug machines. No
problem.
Was
that played backwards? Do you think that video is fake?
To be honest, I think it was fake.
I don't think the ball was ever actually in the video.
I didn't think about it at first, and then someone mentioned it. And is it possible? Sure. He's a very good marketing guy. He's very good with his social media posts. He's very on top of it, and he's kind of a jokester now, especially being in Tampa Bay. He doesn't give a fuck anymore, kind of thing. It's one of those where he just lets it hang loose and, you know, does whatever he wants. So it's very possible, but either way, whether it's a jug machine or Antonio Brown, he's getting the ball wherever the hell it needs to be. And for whatever reason, even in New England days when Antonio Brown was here, he had an infatuation. Brady had an infatuation with Antonio Brown. Yeah, it was the best week and a half you could ever have as a wide receiver. So whatever, you know, any kind of injury happens to Evans or Godwin, you know Antonio Brown's going to be the guy. Gronk, same deal, because you're looking at a guy that's over the middle of the field. I don't expect the offense to change much at all because it's still Brady. It's still Bruce Arians. It worked for him last year. That offense, if anything, should probably get a little bit better, a little bit more efficient, because you still had that learning curve at the beginning part of last year. And even Brady says he feels like they have room to improve. Any offense that has Tom Brady as the quarterback, I want their receivers. I'm all for it.
I do like Antonio Brown. I do think his numbers are a little overinflated because of Godwin being out. Yeah, I do like the pick. It's just with Antonio Brown, are you comfortable with him as your wide receiver 3?
Probably.
There it is right there.
It's, yeah.
Being drafted as a mid to early RB4. So with just keeping that in mind, as an RB4, as a flex play, sure. But even as a flex play, I like Antonio Brown as my the guy coming off the bench for bye weeks. Yes. I don't want to have to rely on Antonio Brown. No. And at wide receiver 43, it's one of those things when you're trying to compare it, it's one of those things where I can't depend on Antonio Brown. I can't have him in my lineup every week unless it's, you know, week 8 on and something happens crazy. But, you know, yeah, he he's being drafted as the RB 44. I'm sorry, the wide receiver 44, according to Fantasy Pros. CBS is the wide receiver 49, Fantrax 42, ESPN 41. So
when you're looking at guys around that range, I feel like they're all kind of upside picks at that point. And usually, at least when you're looking at your roster and you're looking
at this is the guy you have to hit on.
Yeah. And to be, I mean, again, I know I'm kind of beating a dead horse at this point, but give me anybody that has Tom Brady throwing him the football.
And yeah, I'd much rather have him than Marquise Brown. I'd much rather have him than Curtis Samuel. I'd much rather have him than, you know, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Williams, Corey Davis, Henry Ruggs, Rashad Bateman. These are the guys that are going around there. Granted, there are a couple guys in this range as well. Brandon Cooks, I'd much rather have. Michael Pittman, that's a you know, a coin flip for me. Will Fuller, I'd probably have to lean Brown, but because this, you know, Jalen Waddle's going there, Jerry Jeudy, yeah, Marvin Jones, Laviska Shenault. These are all guys, whoever you draft in this range at wide receiver, you have to hit on. This is the guy who's going to be the difference of you needing to buy a wide receiver or hit on a waiver claim, or, you know, you having a guy to rely on your bench. But, you know, if I'm relying on Antonio Brown every week, you're not contending. Unless your top two wide receivers are Stephon Diggs and Tyreek Hill, and then, you know, you just went running back heavy and then you picked up AB as your wide receiver. That's the only time this type of stuff works. But I can't, other than that, I don't see a situation with Antonio Brown, somebody I'm depending on.
Fair enough. Who's your guy? Last guy.
My last guy. So I wanted to go with another quarterback here. But now that I was thinking of going Sam Darnold because he's being so highly disrespected with ADP of 196. Oof. But, you know, are you winning a dynasty league, a 1QB league with Sam Darnold on your team? No. He'll win you a bye week. He'll win you an injury week. But, you know,
That's a tough sell.
You're not starting Sam Darnold, right? So it's one of those things, you know. Kendrick Bourne is somebody who comes to mind. He's being drafted in, you know, the wide receiver 80 range. Nelson Aguilar. It all matters who you believe in that offense. It's difficult because there's so many guys where it's like with Aaron Rodgers coming back, I do really like Alan Lazard with an ADP of 206. But if they bring in Randall Cobb, that one hurts Amari Rodgers and two will hurt Alan Lazard. I do think Lazard is a very good football player. He's like, what, 6'6"? Pretty solid speed.
He definitely flashed a couple times last year. Of course, he had the core injury that kind of set him back a little bit. But again, it's another situation. You're tied to Aaron Rodgers, so. You know, somebody needs to be opposite Davante Adams. So it could just as well be him.
Yeah. I'm going to go Lazard. Even if they bring in Randall Cobb, I still see Lazard being the wide receiver two there. I'm not worried about Devin Funchess.
Yeah, he's not a difference maker by any means.
He took off last year, but realistically, has he played since that one big year in Carolina? Probably, but nobody even really remembers it. You know, a 6'6" wide receiver who in the first 2 weeks, I think had averaged 125 yards, a touchdown and like six catches. So he was going crazy in the first 3 weeks of the season. Then he had that core injury, came back and he just wasn't himself. He didn't produce. Also, you know, I think Tonyan coming in took a lot of that away as well, but a fresh Alan Lazard at ADP 206. And I think he's being drafted, as a wide receiver 74.
Shots in the dark at that point.
you're taking shots in the dark. He might even go undrafted, but somebody who most likely you're picking up as a waiver claim when, you know, your draft pick of McCole Hardman doesn't work again, or John Brown, or, you know, somebody gets injured, or et cetera, right? So I really like Lazard, especially at his ADP. I think he's going to blow that away. If he has a fully healthy season, I have him. If you tell me last year Alan Lazard was fully healthy, was he higher than the wide receiver 74?
Oh, for sure.
Of course. He's the wide receiver 2 for the QB1. So, yeah, Alan Lazard,
book it. Book it. Write it in. That's it. Sealed in stone. Well, I like it.
That's it. The other question I had for you, I was supposed to ask you off air before the episode started, but screw it. We're on the podcast.
Do it for the
dynasty people. Question for you. Contending team, would you trade Big Ben away for a second round pick next year?
Contending team for second round pick next year.
Your quarterbacks are Dak, Darnold, Lawrence.
Yes. You're talking about three other starting quarterbacks who, assuming health, won't have any situation in which they would be benched. And I would feel pretty comfortable starting, assuming you're not leaning super heavy on those quarterbacks, on those quarterbacks versus the rest of your team. I'm assuming the rest of your team is pretty solid because you're a contender and you're never going to get more than that for Big Ben. Yes.
Fair enough. All right. I was going to ask you pre-episode, but screw it. Ask on air.
So now I need to know, did I just screw myself out of a second round pick, or is this trade am I going to get a notification for this trade that a trade's been completed?
I mean, I don't know how it would screw you in any way. You're in most of my leagues, but I don't think it would screw you. I was leaning towards no and just saying, you know, because, you know, what's the two going to be next year? Right. So, and it's not the best class, but who knows? I'm still on the fence about it. I've had two yeses and two noes now. So in my head, I'm 50-50 as well, but
that's fair.
I'll think about it. Maybe you'll get a notification in an hour. I do have to go watch some film on my next game for semi-pro. So yeah, that's all I got. Do you have anything else?
Oh, no, that's it. It's been a good episode. I've had fun. Good luck with your film.
Oh, did you listen to the what we said about you on the last episode?
Yeah, you guys suck. But
did you hear the ending?
Yes, I did. And okay. I already told Tyler, but for all the listeners, if we need to hire a human resources representative, so I need to place a complaint with whoever our HR person is going to be. So let's start taking applications for that.
Unfortunately, Tyler is the head of human resources.
That sounds like collusion. I have a complaint. Another complaint to make.
Yeah. So when you joined the podcast, we never went over any sort of, employee contract. So, you know, we're kind of off the hook on this one. If you'd like to, you can email Tyler and he will listen to your complaint. Most likely do nothing about it.
Welcome to customer service.
Welcome to customer service. And Tyler is very good at it. So, alrighty, that's all I got. Kyle, I appreciate you. Tyler, we need to get you finished with college so that you can be on with us every week again. I'm sure the listeners do miss you. And yeah, you just spent an entire week in Puerto Rico. So
yeah, let's get to it.
I don't feel bad for you. Get back on the podcast. All right.
Wrap it up.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Later. Take care, guys. Peace.